Please open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. We're taking a little break from Matthew, and you might be feared we're going back to it. Well, your fields will probably be recognized someday or realized. We will. But right now, we're taking a break. All right. We're looking at some issues that, you know, we all face, I think. Our culture is different. And so we're going to deal with some cultural things. This morning, we're going to deal with the media culture, okay? Social media, technology, that kind of stuff. Basically beyond me, but we're going to talk about it anyhow. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Some of you were here earlier, but let me share with you that we need to pray for the lamps. Brother John's really having some problems with his legs and his shoulder and his eyes. He's not hardly able to get around, not hardly able to see. And so that's a real struggle for them. He's going to the doctor a lot trying to get some stuff done and fixed. And they've found out that Sister Reba also has cancer on her kidney. And so they're going to sort through that. She's going to go back. They're going to kind of let it lay right now. So they're going to go back and revisit that issue in July and see if anything has changed on her cancer condition. So you be praying for them and for Susan, their daughter. She's being their nursemaid and working too. And so that's a full load. When you got to be caretaker and have a full-time job, that's just not easy to do. And so she's really, really working hard. So you pray for them. Do you have any other prayer requests, though, before we go any further in our services this morning that you'd like us to be mindful of, Sister Carol?
My brother Dean, my oldest brother, you know, he has Parkinson's.
Yeah.
He lost one of his helpers, so he's going to go to the VA home Tuesday.
Oh, is he? Okay. That'd be a big change. So
pray for his sons, Anthony and Jeremy, please. Oh. They've been taking care of him.
Oh, okay.
For quite some time, especially Jeremy.
Yeah, okay.
So it's going to be pretty rough on them.
All right.
My brother-in-law, Herman Jones, we prayed for him. He was the one who got run over by a tractor.
Yes.
He's going to have surgery this coming week and have to remove part of the colon.
Okay. Any others? Remember these during your prayer times during the week.
You guys have prayed for my family in Florida. My aunt actually just moved to Virginia this week where her son is, Nick, my cousin. So they'll be closer together. He can help take care of her. And so that leaves Grandma and Grandpa there in the panhandle. And they're doing as well as can be expected. Okay. They're elderly and they're all right.
I understand.
Thank you guys.
Yep. Anyone else? All right. Thank you for sharing these with us this morning. Those who are willing and able, I'd ask that you stand, please, as we share together the reading of the Word of God. We only have one verse. That's verse 4 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says, "No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier." Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today and to worship you again. I know you never tire of hearing our praise and being edified by those who you have created. It's our purpose in life is to praise you and give you glory by our obedience to you, and I pray that we'll do that. Several prayer requests have been made in our presence this morning, and our hearts go out to these prayer requests, to those who are struggling, changes in life that are coming. And many of them, of course, they were not seeing changes, but they're nonetheless part of the aging of life. Father, we pray for our dear brothers and sisters, friends. We pray, Heavenly Father, your blessings upon them. It can be difficult to live a life that's hampered by disease and sickness. Difficulties can arise that we cannot foresee. But that doesn't mean that you haven't gone before and prepared the way. We know not your divine and perfect will in advance. We know your will only is revealed moment by moment. But we know, Heavenly Father, that you have promised to abide with those who are yours, to draw them close to you. And indeed, even though in uncertainty there can be a peace of mind and heart, knowing that you cannot, will not, and will never make any mistakes. You're still good. That will never, ever change. And the day is going to come and we're going to see perfectly how good you are. And our hearts will know boundless joy. Never-ending peace. Abiding consolation. Oh, how we look forward to that perfect world. May that hope sustain us, help us to be living daily in consciousness of the coming of Christ. And these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated this morning. So Paul is writing Timothy and he's saying, hey, do not be entangled in the daily affairs of life. Isn't that amazing? I love that thought, that idea. Because you know, I know, we all know that being entangled in the daily affairs of life is a constant struggle. This life appeals to us and it's easy for us to give over to the affairs of this particular life. Well, we live in a world today where part of dealing in daily affairs of life is handling social media and technology. You deal with that. It is a big snare, particularly to our time. We can get so lost in social media and the internet and technology that it literally sucks the time away from us. The time that we should be spending with God gets sucked up with doing other things. We need to talk about that. Like it or not, we live in a media-dominated age. In the last 20 years or so, there's been an absolute explosion in media platforms. I was reading the other day that the seven biggest social media sites in 2020 were Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, Snapchat, Pinterest, and Reddit. I don't really know a lot of these, but I just read. You probably know more of them about them than I do. Facebook has 2.4 billion, not million, billion users. YouTube has over 1 billion users. WhatsApp, I guess that's how you pronounce it, also has over 1 billion users. Do you know what the population of the world is? Do you have any idea what the population of the world is? The population of the world is 7.7 billion people. And what I've just shared with you is that half of the world, 3.5 billion people, half the people in the world have access to the internet and all kinds of technology and social platforms. One out of two people are involved in this social media technology world that we live in. That is amazing when you think that half the world can be controlled and is controlled by technology and social media. Can you get your mind around that? It's amazing. The impact, the power of technology controlling half the world. We got to learn to deal with it. We got to learn to deal with it. Over the last 20 years, social media has changed the world forever. We will never go back to the world as we knew it. Our world is saturated with media and technology. It has infiltrated every single part of your life. I don't care how intimate you may think your life is at times. It has been affected some way, somehow, by social media. Whether it's the radio, your cell phone, the TV, your computer, whatever it is, there's a host of information out there that people appeal to. Our opinions are often formed by what we see on the media and through technology. But as with everything, there needs to be a balance. I'm not saying that technology and social media and computers and all that stuff is absolutely and totally wrong and should never access them or have them in your house. I'm not saying that. There's good and bad to everything. There's got to be a balance. I mean, look, you know what's going on right now? Right now, we're on Facebook. People have access to the services of Central Baptist Church. And our services are being recorded. And we're using the social media right now as an outreach into the world. There are people all over our country that watch our services. Social media has been a great innovation towards evangelism. A lot of people have been saved because of the technology, because the gospel is able to go into other parts of the world that no man, no Christian would really be welcoming in. But the gospel can make it there over the airwaves, and it does. So there's a good part to technology. And I'm not trying to totally downplay it. I'm just saying that there needs to be some kind of a balance. Churches are being severely impacted by the coronavirus and by the fact that the churches have gone virtual today. And people are becoming more and more comfortable with the idea that all they have to do to go to church is turn on their TV and that's it. And they're losing this idea of the reality that the Bible says, hey, that's not church. The Bible says you cannot have church over the internet. The Bible teaches us that a church fundamentally is an assembly of the people. You have to come together. You have to interact with each other. And the Spirit of God is in the services of that. We are the body of Christ on the earth. You can't be the body of Christ over the internet. You're a body of Christ when you gather together such as we do, Sunday by Sunday. So the idea that somehow or another that church can be totally done away with and the gathering God's people can be done away with, if it's implied by any platform or any agency, government or not, it is a lie. We have been commanded by Almighty God to gather together in a body, locally, because of the very definition of body of Christ. The Bible says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, gathering together. That's what that means, bodily. To the breaking of bread and prayer, Acts 2:42. So there's no substitute for us gathering together as the body of Christ. So, while there are great benefits to technology, there are also some very serious dangers. And we need to be aware of what some of those dangers are. You understand this principle, right? That with great power comes great responsibility. With great power comes great responsibility. And when you're talking about an avenue that impacts half the world, you're talking about great power. And along with that great power, there comes great responsibility, rightfully handling that power. Souls can be saved through the internet, and souls can be damned through an eternal hell through the same technology when the lies of Satan are promoted. Well, this morning I'm concerned about the dangers of social media and technology specifically upon our children. Our children are growing up, obviously, with technology, and it can desensitize them to its dangers. Our young people don't question. They don't question the use of technology today because it's very familiar to them. And to them, technology is normal. But I'm going to tell you something. Satan has no holds barred when it comes to using something to deceive people and to take people into an eternal hell. And that is especially true with technology today. It's affecting our young people in a tremendous way. Mayo Clinic, which is a certified, real, study, they did a study 6,500 young people, 12 to 15 years old, 3 hours a day on social media or the internet, said that they had mental health problems. The most common problem that they found with children using the internet or social media is depression. That was the most common problem they found with children using the social media and internet. Today, because of the incredible availability of the internet, it is found that young people are now exposed to immorality and pictures on the internet at the age of 8 years old. At a time when they're still developing their mental processes and still trying to develop their standards of morality, at a time when they can be greatly influenced by the internet, at 8 years old, they are being exposed to Satan's greatest immorality. It is a tremendous problem that we are going to have to deal with. There are dangers to it. And as parents, you have a tremendous responsibility. The solution to the dangers of social media and technology is not isolation. It's vigilance. It's vigilance. Being aware of what's going on. I know that probably some people will laugh at me this morning, but that's okay. I know some people probably roll their eyes over some things I'm going to share with you this morning, but that's okay. That's okay. You know, some are going to grumble and complain and say everybody's doing it. I understand. I get that. But you as a parent do not give in. When they roll their eyes, you have a God-given responsibility to check, to protect your children and to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I don't care how many times they say, well, everybody's doing it. You stick to your guns. You are the parent. You are the one to teach them all things. You do not give up. You do not stop. You stay in there and you fight the fight. You are a soldier and you lead your family. I don't care how many times they roll their eyes at you. Doesn't matter. Let them roll their eyes. You know. First danger I want to talk about tonight, or this morning, is the danger of bait and switch. And this is absolutely, hands down, Satan's more successful strategy. Satan is the greatest deceiver in the world, and he wants your child. He wants your child as early as he can possibly get your child, and he knows how to get them. And he gets them little by little by little by little. They get a little exposure here, a little exposure there, a little exposure over here, and the exposure grows more and more and more. And before you know it, he has your child. You need to be vigilant. Satan always used the power of deception. And one of the most powerful things about technology and the internet is it's impersonal. You really can't read a person's body language. I don't care, you know, we get texts, you know, and we always read into those texts. I wonder what they mean by this. What are they saying by that? You know, we can't see their body language. We don't know what they're, you know, without their body language, it's impersonal. You're always trying to figure out what's going on behind the scenes. That is the danger of the internet. Satan loves to make something evil look good. And he is really good at doing that. And he will do that. He's always done that. He takes that which is evil and he makes it look acceptable. He's always going to take up sin and make it look good. Listen, your children simply do not have the experience and the knowledge to tell when they are being duped. Now, I know your teenagers say they already know it all. Okay? Nature of being a teenager. They don't. Okay? They have yet to learn how deceptive this world is in which they live. and how ornery and mean and despicable people are when sin is let loose. Let me share some verses with you. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Ephesians 6:1. That's not only for the children, that's for the parent. That's for the parent. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." They know what they're talking about. They've been there. "My son, observe the commandment of your father. Do not forsake the teaching of your mother." Proverbs 6:20. "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old." I don't know why I put that one in there, but he did. Okay. Children don't always understand that there are predators out there to get them. They don't always see that. And they pull them into their traps. They set out the bait. They set out the bait, and your children will often take the bait. And I'm not promoting a program called Peppa Pig, I think it is. Maybe you know what it is. I'm not very familiar with Peppa Pig. But I read this account of a mom who was allowing her daughter to watch this program, Peppa Pig. It was on YouTube for Kids, I think, or something like that. And she was allowing her daughter to watch this particular program. And one day she walked in and she was observing what was on the program. And she was shocked it was not the same Peppa Pig that she had seen before. And they were introducing some very immoral images into that program. And exposing her young daughter early to immorality. It's Satan's best trick is to let the bait and then switch it. And that's exactly what happens on a lot of programs that are on the internet today, especially for your children. They might start out good, they might start out well, but along the way, things change and the bait is there and they take it and then they switch it to immorality. Be vigilant. I cannot express that enough to you this morning. Know what your child is seeing on the internet. Know what your child is looking at on the internet. Number two, let's talk about some privacy issues that technology gives us today. It's easy for technology to hide things. There are popular apps, something like Snapchat, I think it is, where you can send a message or you can send a picture, and as soon as the message is opened or the picture is seen, that the image or the message immediately disappears. Boom, gone. And it makes you think that you can get away with saying something or doing something that nobody else will see or know. Let me tell you something. Secrecy encourages evil. Secrecy encourages evil. Don't think that just because you send something over the internet that is supposedly secure, that it is. There are people who know how to get around those settings, security settings. And an immoral picture that you sent or something that you said may be very embarrassing the next day when you go to school. Because you thought it was a secret. Because you thought nobody else would see it. There are people who know how to get around that. You know, it's an amazing thing to me that young Christians today have a lot of time for Facebook and Snapchat and Twitter and WhatsApp and Instagram and all this other stuff. But they simply don't have time to read your Bibles. They can't figure out. I just don't have time to do my daily devotions. I don't have time to be in prayer. You know, but you have all the time in the world to do all this social media technology stuff that you get involved in. There are privacy issues. Secrecy encourages evil. The Bible says, "Son of man, do you see what the elders of the house of Israel are committing in the dark? Each man in the room of his carved images? For they say the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land." A dark place, he says. And we all have dark places in our hearts. We all have places in our hearts that nobody has access to. And nobody knows what's going on there except for us. And the things we say and the things we do, we think we can get away with them. Technology provides a false sense of security, and the idea that you can do something will disappear encourages that. Don't believe it. Don't believe it for one single second that you can get away with it. The Bible says this, "For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not be known and become and come to light." Luke 8 and 17. Those things that you think you got away with may very well ruin your opportunity to get your dream job. You may be looking, you know, you don't think, you know, 10 years down the road, when some of this stuff may come up on that your employer may do some background check on you, find some things in your past that you thought were long gone, and it ruins your opportunity to get your job. The one that you really wanted. Gone. Because of 1 second of indiscretion. Don't listen to your heart that says you can get away with something because you can do it anonymously. There's one more layer of security that I want to touch on before I leave this particular subject. And that layer is the layer of knowing where you are, location. You get on the internet and you get into some of these apps and people know exactly where you are. You think it's in private, but it's not. Somebody knows where you are. They're following you. And this is particularly true of our young ladies. There are predators out there who are following and want to hurt your children. And I don't say that to scare you or to make you paranoid, but to raise the reality that you need to be vigilant. Evil people do stuff in secrecy. And you need to be aware of that. The Bible says in Isaiah 29:15, "Woe to those who deeply hide their plans from the Lord. And those deeds are done in a dark place. And they say, who sees us? Or who knows us?" That is written by somebody who knows the heart of men, thinking they get away with something. Evil people know exactly where you are. There are just some apps that your children do not need. There are apps that your children do not need on their phones. You stay away from them. Stay away from them. And finally, there's this big problem of adult content. Adult content. Do not discount this problem. Pornography is one of the biggest businesses in our country. And the more people that they can get addicted to their sites, the more money they're going to make. And that is exactly what they are out to do. To get people addicted to their sites. To get young children hooked onto their sites. People make it easy to find. They make it easy to find. Whether your child's looking for it or not, it is there. It is there. There's been an explosion in the internet. An explosion. And that explosion includes pornography. Even an accidental exposure to pornography can trigger a natural curiosity within your own children to explore more and to find out answers to questions they have about sexuality that they need to be asking you about. Not going to the internet and finding answers about it. They need to be coming to their mom and dad and they'd be finding out what the answers are that they're looking for on their intimacies. Not the internet. You need to have a conversation with them. You need to be one who teaches them. You need to be one that they come to. You need to be one who's open. You need to be one who's honest. You need to be one who's approachable. And that takes work. That takes spending time with their children. That means investing in their interests. It means building a relationship with them. That costs time. That costs energy. And it costs money to do that. But you need to do that. You need to be the one they have the confidence in to come to and question. Not go anywhere else. Not going anywhere. I don't care. You know, I don't care if you're living on a farm in the middle of Wyoming, or whether you're on a mission field somewhere in some third world country, or anywhere in between. We have this monster within us called lust. We have this monster called the flesh. And this monster can find you anywhere and any time. And it's very likely this monster will show up on the internet and trick you and deceive you. And you need to be ready to face that monster when he comes. Let me share some verses with you. Verses your people, your young people need to know. In Psalm 119:9 it says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word." By committing the word of God. Young people, you need to, first of all, you need to commit yourself to the Lord. If you know, you need to start right there. Commit. I'm committing myself to the Lord. Because that is the first and foremost step you can take to controlling those lusts and desires and those temptations. The single most failure that I see among Christians today, particularly young Christians and teenagers, is that there's no serious effort to commit themselves to the Lord. They'll claim to be Christian, you know. They'll claim to be moral. But there's no serious commitment to saying, I'm going to be holy, or I'm going to be set apart, or I'm going to be different. Or I am committing myself wholly to the Lord. Don't be satisfied with just saying I'm a Christian. I want you to be not satisfied until you're saying, you know what? I want to give the Lord everything in my life. I want to have control of every aspect of my life. And I don't care what it is. Be careful about your friends. I know you don't want to be ostracized. I know you don't want to be disliked by your friends. But you need to dedicate yourself to the Lord, to the Lord's service. Commit yourself to Him first. The psalmist says, here's how you be pure. You commit yourself regularly to the Word of God. Studying it, memorizing it, learning it. Young person, if you're not spending time in the Word of God, there's nothing your parents can actually do to really, really help you. They can encourage you. They can discipline you. But external discipline is not going to do what internal cleansing of the Word of God can do. Because with the internal cleansing of the Word of God comes the Holy Spirit of God, which the power is to sustain you through temptations. Secondly, it says, now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Did you see what he said there? Look at it again. This is, you know, we read verses and we don't pause and think about what's going on here. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. What? With friends. You need to be careful about the friends you let your teenagers have and the friends you let your young people have. Because they are to be seeking the same thing that your child is seeking. They're going to be great influence. They can be a great help to your child, and your child can be a great help to them. But you've got to be vigilant about who your kids are hanging around. And you, as a young person, need to be aware whether this person who is your friend is pulling you down or pulling you up. Which way is he going? Pulling you toward the Lord or pulling you away from the Lord? Which way are they going? With. Flee youthful lusts. Get away from those TV shows. Get away from that social media. Those sites that are ranked with immorality. Finally, it says, one more verse I want to give you. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you may be able to endure it. Yes, you are going to have temptations. I wish I could get you out of this world. I wish I could say you would never be tempted by anything in this world, but that would be a lie. The fact is, you need to be ready for the temptation. That's what he's saying here. You cannot get away from it as long as we're in this world, in this body, in this life. But there is a way of escape. And God is going to give you that way. He's going to give you the strength. He's going to give you the wisdom. He's going to give you what you need. You just need to appeal to it and apply it to your life. He's always going to provide the way. Always. 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 So, what do you do, huh? What do you do? Well, you limit. You limit your child's social media and screen time. They may rebel. Like I said, they may rebel and they may roll their eyes and they may say that everybody's doing it. You stick to your guns. You stick to your guns. Social media can be addicting. Social media in and of itself is not necessarily evil, but everything the Bible tells us must be done in moderation. In moderation. Even if they don't get involved in things that are not good, even if all they see is what is good, they still can spend too much time, screen time, even if it's good. We don't realize that sometimes. It numbs their minds. It affects their ability to think and rely on their phone or rely on their computer. And they withdraw from the real world. They fail to socialize and they lose their ability to communicate with others and interact with others, which is what God has called us to do and be. Let me give you a biblical principle about that. It's called self-control. If you don't limit their screen time, their technology time, you're failing to teach them self-control. Failing to teach them self-control. And self-control is one of the greatest attributes we can have in this life. Number two, know what's on their phone, folks. Know what's on their phone. Know what's on their computers. This is not an invasion of privacy. I hear this. Oh, they're invading your child's privacy. No, you are not. You are not. Folks, I have a program on my computer called Covenant Eyes on my computer. And that my computer prints out, or the Covenant Eyes program prints out a report to my oldest son Jeff and to my wife Judy. They get that report every week as to what I am watching on my computer. You know what that's called? That's not called invasion of privacy. That is called being accountable. It's called being accountable for what you're doing. It's not invasion of privacy. Your children need to learn accountability. They need to learn the value of accountability. And what they're, and you teach it to them by making them accountable to what they're watching and what they're doing. You need to be checking your phone, your child's phone. You need to be checking their computer. Seriously, you need to be doing that. Number three, the best thing you can do is strive to have a very close, intimate relationship with your child. That's going to take work. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. It's probably going to take some money, even. You're going to take tons of time. But you need to get in their hearts. You need to get inside their hearts. They're not going to like some of the restrictions that you put on them. They're not going to like some of the limitations that you put on them. And they're probably going to test you. But the most loving thing you can do is stand by your guns. That's the most loving thing you can do. And not quit. Stay there. Don't move. Don't budge. Stand there. These are God-given principles. You don't need to be ashamed of where you stand on doing these things. These are God-given principles. You know, strangely enough, though, your Heavenly Father is a lot like that. He loves you. But he's given you some laws. And he's given you some restrictions, hasn't he? And those laws and those restrictions that God has put on us is for our good. But the strange thing about God's laws and God's restrictions is that sometimes they show us what's really in our hearts. And they show us what we really need. We need to repent. What we really need is to repent of our self-trust, our self-righteousness, thinking that somehow or another, I'm going to make it to heaven. You need to repent of that. God is showing you by your own sinfulness, breaking His laws, that you're not going to make it. You don't have the ability, you don't have the capacity to make it there. But God loves you enough that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins. I'm going to ask Brother R.D. to come and help us with our invitation hymn this morning. What you really need is a Savior. Someone who will go in your place, die in your place, pay the price that you cannot pay for having offended God. And trusting Him as your personal Savior, because He went there because He loved you and He was willing to pay the price, and He did pay the price in full. Your account is paid in full when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, and trust Him. Everything is wiped out and you start with a clean life. Isn't that great? You can't find a deal like that anywhere else. Nowhere else. Well, I'm going to ask Brother R.D. to introduce the hymn, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing the hymn.
558.
Let's stand together, would you? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning. We thank You so much for Your Word, for its truth, for its cleansing, for its power, for its enlightenment, for its wisdom. We need all that. We live in these old selfish, sinful, lustful, earthly, worldly bodies, surrounded by a world where Satan is said to be the god of the world. And so the temptations are always there. We don't get away from them. But that's not bad. You've given us the ability and the power of the Word of God to cleanse us and to help us to see what's evil and wrong and to see through it. I pray for these parents here. I ask You to bless them, Lord. I pray that You'll give them wisdom. I pray that You'll give them the strength they need. I pray that You'll give them clarity of thought and mind to set the limits that they need to set. Because they love their children, they want their children to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Because that is their goal. Lord, help them not waver. Help them not become weak-kneed. Help them not to falter, but strengthen them. Help us to pray for these parents, to lift them up in prayer, that they'll be strong. Now, Lord, save the soul that Your Spirit touches today and draws to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All to Jesus I surrender.